Turn in your Bibles to Galatians 5, verse 20. Today, thousands of people travel to South America, various countries in South America, or to underground retreats in the U.S. to drink a hallucinogenic tea called ayahuasca. They come back with stories of spiritual encounters, quote unquote, seeing the light or finding peace. What they didn't encounter was the Holy Spirit. They encountered something else. We're going to look at a word today that refers to things like this, and it's alive and well today. It's alive and well today. It's not just an ancient thing. It's the modern search for spiritual experience that people are after today. But they're missing something. They're missing something in that search. Galatians 5, verse 20. Continuation again of our walk through faith versus the law as seen through Galatians as a whole, as a whole letter. And today we're going to look at the one word there in verse 20 after idolatry, which we looked at last week. That is the word witchcraft. Witchcraft. Now, kind of a scary word, isn't it? Let's read verses 19 and 20 again. I guess I should have put both up there. But Galatians 5, 19. I'll just read verses 19 and 20. But you can see verse 20 up there on the screen. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest or evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft." And then it goes on with hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you as before, as I've told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These are the not kingdom of God things. Witchcraft is one of them. So again, I just want to highlight the idea of what the works of the flesh is talking about. The works of the flesh. You look at that list, and you can see that what we're seeing is a description of the mechanics of the miserable state of humanity. Right? This list just basically covers the whole thing, the whole miserable state of mankind. Whereas the fruit that we'll look at later emphasizes nature, a living reality that is the result of the indwelling, transforming Spirit of God. The opposing ideas of the flesh and the Spirit. The works of the flesh, again, the miserable state of mankind. So whatever witchcraft is, it relates somehow to the miserable state of mankind. There's a deeper issue than maybe what it might appear to be on the surface. But let's look at that word. It's the word pharmakeia in the Greek. Standing by itself, the word is as neutral as our English term pharmacy. Okay, by itself. It's from the root pharmakon, literally drug. The word denotes the use of pharmaceuticals. In this context, however, black magic, drug abuse, poisoning, and demonic influence make up the sense of the word. A particular long-standing relevance all the way back to the first century, abortifacients are also in view here. Not so irrelevant anymore, is it, when you think about this word? Magic, drug abuse, poisoning, demonic influence, abortion. This is a very real problem today, isn't it? If you look at the background of the way that this word is used, this word pharmakeia, The Old Testament has this idea, and it's intertwined with idolatry, deception, and spiritual rebellion. Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 4 talks about all of the problems with the nations that the children of Israel were supposed to conquer, and sorcery and witchcraft were among them. This idea of that's closely connected with idolatry, very idolatrous people that they were supposed to be kicking out of the land. And just spiritual rebellion in general, as I'll highlight a little further in a minute. But it's also it's also translated as sorcery several times in Revelation. Those passages there talk about the judgment to these people who are practicing sorcery. This word, pharmakeia. And so you only find it so many times in the Bible. It's not there that often, this word. But it's here in this list, which means it's pointing to something about the human condition. Remember, we talked about idolatry and the fact that it strongly points to the nature that we have to worship something apart from God because of our ungratefulness and our rejection of God's sovereignty. This one is very, very much connected. It's very similar, but it's not so much a rejection of his sovereignty as much as it is a rejection of his authority over you specifically. So let's look at a few contemporary parallels. Abortion, pretty straightforward contemporary parallel. You can kind of already connect the dots of taking control and not letting God have the say in your life. That's what abortion is all about. It's all about doing what you want to do with your quote-unquote body, no matter who you're hurting or killing. Occult practices are still around. Drug use for spiritual experiences, like I mentioned about ayahuasca, DMT is maybe an example of that. You also kind of see it in manipulative, Christianized spiritualism, very much a problem with the false prophecies and emotionalism that you see among so-called Christians that's totally divorced from the truth to try to forward their own ends apart from God and apart from Scripture and the Word of God. And, excuse me, generally speaking, dependence on altered states instead of God's Word and His Spirit is really the perfect description of pharmakeia. The perfect description of witchcraft is dependence on altered states or substances, right? Instead of God's Word and His Spirit. So as I've been hinting at, we're really dealing with a heart issue, aren't we? In fact, the Old Testament makes this explicit. 1 Samuel 15:23 says this, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Speaking, of course, to Saul, who just was doing his own thing because he was rejecting the authority of God. And it's witchcraft. That wasn't the last time that Saul had a problem with witchcraft, which we'll see in a minute. But it's a hard issue of rebellion. There's a few ways that this plays itself out, three specifically that I'm going to highlight here this morning. The first way that this plays out in your life, the first way that rebellion plays out in the sense of the word witchcraft that you see in Galatians 5:20 is this. a desire for control without submission. At its core, pharmakeia represents the flesh's attempt to gain spiritual insight, power, or results without submitting to God. Let me say that again. At its core, pharmakeia represents the flesh's attempt to gain spiritual insight, power, or results without submitting to God. It's an attempt to kind of shortcut to the spiritual realm. It's a shortcut to get spiritual power without yielding to God. That's what we're talking about here, without obedience to God. Instead of seeking the Lord of hosts, the heart is always seeking to be its own God by manipulating unseen forces, whether that be drugs or appealing to demons or Satan. 1 Samuel 28, in fact, turn there, if you would. 1 Samuel chapter 28. The first two verses indicate that things were kind of getting out of control for King Saul. It came to pass in those days, 1 Samuel 28, verse 1, that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said to Achish, Surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, Therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. Verse 3 it says, Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him, and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. He was in a dark place. God was not speaking to him. And he wasn't speaking to him. Why? Because he had left him because of his rebellion. And so Saul says in verse 7 to his servants, Seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, Behold, there's this woman over here at Endor. And Saul disguised himself, went there, and asks her to bring up Samuel from the dead, to speak to him. And we know that this woman was basically a charlatan, was doing, you know, doing the things that that sorcerers, quote unquote, would do today, and deceiving and manipulating people. Because, and we know this because he asks for Samuel, and she does it, and she summons Samuel. And then she freaks out when he actually shows up, because he actually shows up. God allowed or sent the spirit of Samuel to teach a lesson here to Saul in this moment. But I want you to notice his attitude going into this. And in fact, he doesn't make it very long after this encounter. He doesn't last very long. His attitude, his motivation for going to this woman, to seeking out the witchcraft, was simply for control. And and he wasn't hearing from God. There was a disconnect between him and God, and he wanted to get that connection at all costs. He wanted to try to restore that connection, but he went about it the wrong way. Really, the only way that he probably knew how. So desperation and disobedience, that will push you to these places. You are not so strong and so mighty that you're better than Saul when it comes to having control. That at some point, if your submission is not to God, that at some point you won't fall into desperation and disobedience. Acts chapter 8 gives us another example of a sorcerer, Simon the sorcerer. That's another one that actually we should go to. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Very much relevant, maybe beyond what you might think on the face of this story. But think about this in terms of this idea of a desire for control without submission. The benefits and power of God without submitting to the authority of God. Simon, in Acts chapter 8, verses 5 and following, we see this the conversion, the revival that's happening there in Samaria. Philip went down to Samaria, the city of Samaria, Acts 8, 5, and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. God was working mightily. The power of God was evident and clear to anyone who had eyes. But, it says in verse 9, there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Look at verse 13. It says, then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Simon the sorcerer became a believer. But that wasn't the end of his story. It says in verse 14, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 16, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. This is this interesting transitional period, just want to note here, between the Spirit and his evidences on the lives of believers in this era. And it says the Holy Ghost came when the apostles laid their hands on them. And verse 18 says, when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. He thought he could buy the power. He thought he could get a shortcut. He thought he could take a shortcut to the power of the Holy Spirit in his own ministry. Peter said to him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. There's a lot, maybe, that could be a whole series of messages could probably be preached on this story. But the point is, there is no power of the Spirit of God apart from yielding to the authority of God. Simon thought he could use money to buy the power. And so the heart problem here is this: I want the benefits and power of God without bowing to the authority of God. And this is something that believers, like Simon, the sorcerer, a former sorcerer, fell into. And we fall into it over and over again. We think that there's something we can do to gain the power of God apart from yielding to Him. There's some as of yet to be discovered thing to do to get the power of God. It's just not the case. The power of God comes when you yield yourself to the authority of God and you let go of the control that you so want to hang on to, as we sang in our hymn about the many things that we need to submit to Him. Desire for control without submission. Number two, witchcraft plays itself out in craving for power without relationship. Pharmakeia reveals a heart that wants power over others or circumstances, but doesn't want the transforming presence of God. The heart loves influence, experience, and results more than it loves God Himself. And it's the counterfeit of true spirituality, experiencing something divine, quote unquote, without having to die to self. The power without the relationship. Today, you see it in the people turning to astrology or crystals or psychedelics or drugs or talking about their energy, not because they want truth, but because they want control. They want peace. They want power on their own terms. And so the heart problem behind witchcraft is, I want the spirituality without the cross. I want the benefits of Christianity. There was a famous atheist that recently came out and said something to the effect of, cultural Christianity is good, and we need to keep that, after he has spent his life trying to tear that down because he hates the authority of God. I want the benefits without the relationship. And you can't get them that way. You can't get them that way. The relationship is the benefit. Is that what you're seeking? When you open up your Bible, are you checking a box so that you can have a good day? Are you opening a Bible to meet with God in the morning? Number three, fear of vulnerability and trust is another way this plays out. Pharmakeia also reflects a heart that's afraid to trust God, especially when He seems slow, silent, or sovereign in a way we don't like. The reason people turn to drugs, again, because of this thing with control, is to manipulate their circumstances, to manipulate their feelings so that they don't feel so abandoned, so that they don't feel so powerless. Right? And what it does is it offers an illusion of power to someone who's afraid of dependence, who's afraid of trust. Because here's something that I can trust to help me. I'll go to this psychologist and get such and such a prescription and trust that for my behavior to change. Trust that for my spirit to be made well. Parents do this with their children too often. Instead of teaching them in the ways of God and in teaching them to trust and to be vulnerable, immediately put them on drugs. The heart problem behind this is this: I don't trust God to come through for me, so I'll try something else. We so often do this when God doesn't work on our timeline, don't we? Well, he didn't work here, so I guess my trust was misplaced somehow. And maybe there's something else that I should try. Instead of being vulnerable with him, trusting him, depending on him, no matter what. God is putting you in places where the only option is to trust him, and you're ignoring that and going and trusting something else. That's why you're so often not satisfied in your Christian life, because he's narrowing the path and showing you, trust me alone. And then you step off and say, oh, here's something that will give me comfort. Here's something that I can trust. Here's a thing that I can do so that I don't have to do the work of a relationship with God. What are the things in your life that are like that? What are the things in your life that you're using to medicate your need for God? That's what we're talking about here. What are the things that you're using to gloss over the deep need that you have in your heart for God and the deep need that you have in your heart for relationship with him? Every single one of us, when we're not walking with Christ, the Holy Spirit is crying out to us, look to me, trust me, walk with me, be vulnerable with me. I'm the one who can help. And we're saying, no, it can be this. It can be video games. It can be all of the idols that we talked about earlier. It can be substances. Approximately 73 million induced abortions occur worldwide each year. Did you hear that? Approximately 73 million induced abortions occur worldwide each year. This represents about 29% of all pregnancies and 61% of unintended pregnancies. That unintended pregnancies stat is what really drives this point home, because you lost control of the situation. So what do? Witchcraft. Murder. It's not the answer. And it's happening all around the world every single day. In the United States alone, medication abortions account for 63% of all abortions in 2023, and that was up 53% in 2020. This equates to approximately 642,700 medication abortions in 2023. This problem is alive and well. And it's a heart issue. It's the heart issue at play. You can even be preaching as strongly as you want, as strongly as anybody, about how abortion is wrong and it's murder, and then still have the same attitude about the rest of your life. And so here's how you need to think about this term. Witchcraft is the heart crying, I want God's power, but I don't want God. But the gospel is God saying, you can have me, and I will give you all you need, including my power, my presence, and my peace in Christ. So again, I have to ask, are you coming to Bible Way on a Sunday morning so that you can have a nice Christian life? Or are you coming to Bible Way on Sunday morning and doing anything that you do for God because you want God? Because you want Him? Because you want Christ. You want to know Him and the power of His resurrection, as the Apostle says. Is that why you come to Him? You want to know Him and His power in your life, as opposed to using Him or the things of God, and to manipulate, to take God's name in vain. That's what that is. God for your own devices. It starts with being vulnerable with Him, trusting Him. It starts with crying out and saying, God, I want you and I want you alone to satisfy me. Is that your heart cry? I hope it is. I hope every time you open up the Word, do you even open up the Word of God on a regular basis? So if you don't, that's not obviously not your heart cry. If you're not, Do you replace the relationship with God in the morning with a cup of coffee? This is exactly what we're talking about. Repent of the sin of witchcraft. It's possible to do as a believer, very much so. And I pray that that would be that this would be a warning to that would have an eternal impact on your life.